Well, you may share the experience of mine wearing glasses, and when you depend on your glasses not just for comfort but for protection for the sun, you want to make sure you choose the right lenses for your needs. And Jim LaLuzerne retired from a 45-year career where he was CEO from five different optic-related companies. Our guest today, he was president of the largest manufacturer of prescription eyeglasses in the world. He's an inductee in the Optical Hall of Fame. Been with us many times. And, Jim, it's great to have you back. Thanks so much.
Larry, it's always a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm really glad to have you on. We talked about skin cancers and protecting your skin. Need to protect your eyes as well. Sunglasses, obviously, is what we're talking about here to begin with. We'll get on to other glasses as well. But how do sunglasses work? What do they do?
Well, I listened to the program before with Dr. Bodimer, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she covered an awful lot about the damage that UV rays can do to you. And of course, that happens to your eyes as well, not just the exterior part of your eye, your eyelids and such, but the other parts of your eye. And we know that UV light can increase chances of cataracts and other eye problems. So protecting your eye from UV is a good thing. Now, one of the things that a lot of people don't know is that you do not need a colored lens to provide that protection. UV light can be absorbed by a clear lens. And most prescription eyeglasses that people wear absorb UV light. And so just wearing those glasses, they may not be comfortable. It might be still be too bright out.
Yeah.
But the actual UV is being absorbed by the lens. Now, that being said, light can come into your eye around your glasses. And many dress eyeglasses, not sunglasses, but regular glasses, even if they absorb the UV, they get light from the top and the sides and the bottom. And one of the things that Dr. Bodimer mentioned was wearing a hat. Very important to keeping the light from above coming in. And if you do wear sunglasses of any type, the bigger is better because you get more from the front. But a lot of sunglasses have top protection. The upper bar actually comes back a little bit. Sometimes they have wide temples on the side. So the amount of light that gets in around the sides is an important thing to consider. There are some people also that are very concerned because sunglasses, when you're wearing dark lenses, your pupils get larger. But if light comes in around the side, then more comes in. So wearing sunglasses alone, you've got to make sure you get protection around the sides and the top. for that.
I was thinking about the fishing. You know, for fishing, I have sunglasses that have the sides are, I mean, it just are right there and really keep the sun up.
Right, and they're probably polarized as
well.
Yes,
they are. They're wonderful.
Yeah, polarized. If somebody has not heard about or aware of polarization, if you're on the water, it's a miracle what they do.
It's night and day difference.
It's absolutely correct. And you can get prescription polarized lenses as well. A lot of sunglasses, non-prescription sunglasses, are polarized. And people think that's the only way they can get a polarized lens. If you have prescription glasses, you can get polarized lenses as well. And that's a good point I'd like to mention is that sunglasses, not just polarized, but any kind of sunglass can be made with a prescription. And it's very common for people to have a pair of glasses that they use for everyday use and then a pair of sunglasses, both with the same prescription.
Yeah.
Now, there's another product that's been around for many years, and these are transition lenses. These are ones that are clear indoors and dark outdoors. those, as far as UV absorption, those do virtually 100% UV absorption, both when they're clear and when they're dark. So you get that protection all the time. Some of those do not activate in a car because the UV doesn't come through the windshield. So you're still being protected from UV in a car, even if they're not activated.
Jim LaLuzerne, our guest today, talking with him with Eyewear, some about protecting your eyes from the sun, obviously about sunglasses and other things as well with him. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. Joe in Menominee up next. Hi, Joe. Thank you for calling.
Hey, good morning. This is quite fortuitous, actually. We were just having a discussion about sunglasses the other day and wanted to answer to a question. Here's the question. The cheap sunglasses out there, we've heard, can sometimes not block UV or even when they advertise to do so. And what we've heard, and this may be apocryphal, but we heard it, is that what they do is they block the rays that cause you to squint while not blocking the rays that actually harm your eyes. So you get the worst of both. It's actually worse to wear cheap sunglasses than nothing at all. So the question I have is, how do you test sunglasses? How do you vet them? How do you know what's real? Is there some kind of testing agency, or is there some way to do it that, you know, so that you can verify that what you're getting is actually really blocking the rays you want it to?
That's a very important point, and I would say that there's a couple lines of defense. First of all, if you go to a eye care specialist, a doctor, a doctor's office, they're going to make darn sure that the product that they have has the UV protection that they claim to have. And your point about if it makes your eyes' pupils get bigger but doesn't protect it from the UV, that is a big problem. The good news is that most glasses, sunglasses that you buy, do provide full UV protection. It is very inexpensive, almost non-cost, for the manufacturer of these to include that. And so people generally, and some of the materials, just a regular polycarbonate lens, for example, just all by itself absorbs UV light. So you don't have to add anything to it or do anything special. There's three types of markings that you should look for on a lens. Sometimes they'll say 99 to 100% UVA and UVB blocking. You should at least see that on a label somewhere. Some say that they meet the ANSI Z80.3. It's another marking. And some call it UV400. Those are three markings that you can look at, and it is possible that some unscrupulous person would put that on a pair that doesn't provide it, but that's very, very unlikely. The big difference in cheap glasses isn't so much the UV protection, it's that the optical quality of the lens and the quality of the frame itself. So the lens could be wavy or distorted, and those are a different set of problems. Also, impact resistant, the law is, there's a very strong law that the government has had for many, many years about the impact resistance of lenses, and the safety, or not safety, but sunwear also has to meet those standards as well. So they do provide that, but that's pretty much a given today.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you, Joe, for calling. Appreciate it. Brownie in Sun Prairie, your turn. Hi, thank you for calling.
Good morning. You had a comment about polarization on lenses a minute ago, and Larry had talked about the benefits on water. Can you expand on that as to why polarization is either better than UV, or the combination of polarization and UV together can be better than just regular sunglasses?
Well, you have to have the UV. The UV and the polarization are rather independent. So the lens would absorb the UV, and then in addition to that, you would have polarization. And polarization, I've been in the business for more than 50 years now, and I can't say that I completely understand how it does it, but I know what it does, and that is that light hitting the surface of water primarily reflects up at an angle, and when you look at water, you can't see in it, but you see the reflection. The polarization is at a right angle to that reflection, and it blocks the amount that comes up off the surface. So you can literally look into the water without seeing that reflection on the surface. Polarization it was known about for a long time, but I think it was in the 30s when they were able to produce it in a lens on a quality basis.
I was amazed one time fishing with a guy, and a muskie followed his bait, and I could see it. He did not have polarized glasses, and it was a good 50-inch fish.
Oh, wow.
And I said, "Oh, look at that one following your bait." And he said, "What?" And I said, "You have got to get polarized glasses, my goodness me." And they're not, and you can buy, polarized glasses don't have to be all that expensive.
No, and you can get polarized lenses, I call them coveralls, but you can wear your prescription glasses underneath and they fit over the top.
Yeah.
And some of those are wonderful because they give you protection. They're really big. They provide side protection. You do have two pair of glasses on if you need a prescription. But they do a wonderful job of providing polarization, and they do a great job of sun protection as well.
Yeah. Brownie, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Steve in South Milwaukee, hi.
Hi, I'm calling in regards to the blue light that we get from our various e-devices. Yep. And also from LED lights, I had heard that put off a considerable amount. There was a researcher that I heard on the radio a few years back who was very concerned about the blue light being damaging to the retina. And I was wondering what your concern was about that, or if you had any. And also, did you say that regular lenses without any special treatment provide UV protection like glasses?
Answer your thing about the protection, yes. Glass lenses do not provide as much protection, but almost all plastic lenses today provide almost 100% UV protection. The situation with blue light is kind of there's still some debate about what's actually going on there, but I'll kind of give you my opinion on it. For many years, the blue light is part of the visible light spectrum. And under normal circumstances, the amount of blue light that comes in your eye isn't the problem. But in some industrial applications, and this goes back 30, 40 years, I used to work with some factories on this, they would have a source of light that had an unusual high percentage of blue light, sometimes arc lights, sometimes welding, things like that. So the amount of blue light in between 400 and 500 nanometers, it's visible light, but it was very intense. And there is a lot of science around the fact that that can and does do damage. So that same thinking has carried over into a lot of electronic devices that produce
some blue light
that might be more than that.
And we can talk some more about that. Our guest today, Jim LaLuzerne, visiting with us today about protecting your eyes and eyeglass wear. He'll be with us right up till 12:30. Quick look at the news, then we'll be back with Jim. Stay with us. Well, with the long, sunny summer days on the horizon, eyewear not only helps you see well, but protects your eyes from the sun. And that's really important. Of course, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network, and great to have with us Jim LaLuzerne, who was the CEO of 5 different optic-related companies, president of the largest manufacturer of prescription eyeglasses in the world, inductee in the Optical Hall of Fame. And Jim, thanks again for spending time with us. Really appreciate it.
I'm always happy to be here, Larry.
We'll give our listeners a chance to join in. If you have a question about eyewear, we've talked sunglasses, but we can talk other types of eyeglass wear as well, or contacts. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. or post on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page title is The Larry Mueller Show, and so we'd certainly love to hear from you. And I want to go back to a question that we had just before the break, which was about the amount of blue light that that we get and in relation to eyewear.
Well, to kind of finish up what I started to say was that blue light in some industrial applications or someplace is known to be a problem, and there's been special lenses that have been made for people that are in or around that, welding glasses and different types. The concern today is, they call it E-light or blue light, is that different electronic devices, LED lights, things like that might be producing this. And while I think the jury is still out, so to speak, on whether that is a problem, if anybody has a concern, there are lenses. You can buy plano lenses, in other words, non-prescription glasses that have a tint. It's usually yellowish or amber in color. In order to get rid of the blue light, there has to be a tint in it because it is visible light that's doing the damage, and that's what needs to be done. And you can have prescription glasses that have these tints put into them as well to protect from that. And just talk to your eye doctor when you go in.
Dave in Sparta wonders, when should children start wearing sunglasses?
Well, I think based on what your previous guest did at the same time that they're wearing sunscreen, I think in a young child's case, of course, a hat to protect them from the eye and keep them out of the sunlight as much as you can. But anytime they're out running around, I think the same rules about the skin pertain to the eyes.
There we go. Ray and Rhinelander, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Here's my question, and I've run into this problem before, and I'm glad your guest is on. Every 2 years I get an eye exam, I'm in my 60s, and of course your eyes change. I don't need prescription glasses for everything else, but I do need reading glasses, and each time I go it changes a bit too. Like, it started with 150 about maybe 8 years ago, and I'm up to around the 200s now. I noticed that if I go to a cheaper eyeglass company, I'm not going to get into names or anything, the lenses come back kind of wavy, and I almost get a headache from reading them. If I go to a higher quality company with higher quality lenses, I don't run into that. Is that just me, or do you know something more than I do, obviously, so I'll take the comment off the air. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
All right, that's a good point. I'll begin by telling you that I'm a little bit older than what you said you were, and those numbers just keep getting bigger, so you got that to look forward to. If you're buying over-the-counter readers, there is a big variation in over-counter the readers in terms of the quality, not only of the frame, but of the lenses as well. And when you get reading glasses, the ones you buy over-the-counter, the prescription is exactly the same in the right eye and the left eye. Most people, their prescription at that point isn't exactly the same, so you got a little variation there. Also, that pair of glasses, the distance between the lens is set for an average person wearing that pair of glasses, and you may not be average. So if the lens is not presented in front of your eye correctly, then that can cause problems. If you got a little astigmatism, it's not being fixed for that. And generally, the frames are not as good a quality, and the adjustments and how it's done. So if you really want the best, you should get prescription reading glasses. And then in that case, the doctor would specifically figure out the power in both eyes for reading. They would get the PD, or the distance between your pupils, accurate for reading. The reading PD, or pupillary distance, is different than your distance PD, because your eyes turn in when you read. They look at the object that's close to you and they turn in. And then if you had any astigmatism, that would be corrected. You can select a better quality frame, and you could get an AR coating, an anti-reflection coating, which is very nice if you're reading, if you've got bright lights. It could be more comfortable if you have an AR coating. So you're right, a better quality lens is better, and if you like to read and you read a lot, you know, that's
worth
the way
it.
To go.
Yeah, well worth the money, that is for sure. Good question. Barb in Milwaukee, we turn to you next. Hi, Barb.
Good afternoon. When I got my last prescription, I got it with a tint, a sun tint, so I could not be affected. Now when I am outside and come in, I have trouble reading. Should I go to a binocular that I would not have the blended, maybe slowing down my reading ability?
I'm not sure how a sun tint.
I got a darker tint,
yes.
Number one. So when I come in out of the sun, and I'm in a shaded area, I have trouble reading, focusing.
Now, do you, I mean, this is, you're taking your sunglasses off now inside?
No, I keep them on.
Oh, okay.
So the tint is not in your glasses. These are prescription glasses, so the tint doesn't lighten up when you come back inside?
Yes.
That's the situation. Oh.
Well, the older you get, the more light you need. To see, that's for everybody with, as they age. And it sounds to me like when you're coming indoors, you just don't have enough light to see. And the answer is to get a clear pair of lenses for indoors. If you have a transition lens, the one that changes from outside to inside, that transition time period is about 5 minutes.
Oh.
And so it just takes a while for that lens to clear up. There's one final solution, which isn't too common anymore, but it used to be, is what they call a gradient-tinted lens, where a lens is dark on the top and clear on the bottom, and it gradually changes from the top to the bottom. And that was kind of a fashion statement at one time, but it also was a very effective way of making a pair of glasses so that you could come indoors, the lower part of the lens was clearer, you could see, you go outside, the sun's above you, and you got protection from above.
Yeah.
That does sound good.
Yeah, and I kind of remember that. That was back a few years now, though.
Well, gradient tints are still available in a lot of products. It's just that it became a fashion statement.
Yeah.
But it was very, very effective.
Thank you very much for calling, Barb. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call talking about eyewear, zeroing in a bit on sunglasses, but other things as well, with Jim LaLuzerne as our guest, one of our regular guests here, who's been with us many, many times, and always great to have him along. Ralph from Racine wondered, what conditions should you wear sunglasses? It's obvious when it's bright sun. But what about overcast? You know, I was playing golf on Saturday, and it was pretty much cloudy all day.
The sun damage can be done just as much with overcast. The ultraviolet rays do come through. People get sunburned on their skin all the time on a overcast day. So I think the rules are pretty much the same. You might consider, if you're golfing and you want protection, you could get a clearer lens. Some people like the transition lenses because if it's kind of medium, it doesn't get as dark. If it's really a bright day, it gets darker. They come indoors, it's clearer. I do know some avid golfers that will have an actual pair of glasses that are more of a yellow tint. And shooters sometimes do it. Yellow tints, amber tints, increase contrast and help people see, especially if there's plenty of light, but it's kind of like the end of day, dim light. Sometimes they find that works well for them.
Peter in Mount Pleasant up next. Hi, Peter. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Thanks for having the show. My question is about lined bifocals. I obviously wear them, and I had a pair, and I was happy with them. When I got my new pair, the line just above and below the actual line, it seemed to be blurrier, almost like they had buffed it, and so it left a large swath across my field of view that would be out of focus just above and below the line. What can I tell the people I order my lenses from to make sure that they don't, that doesn't happen? Maybe they're buffing the line to try to obscure it a little more so it doesn't catch the light.
That'd be really irritating, that's for sure.
Well, first of all, the people that are doing it, the lenses today, I'm assuming it was a plastic lens, is that correct?
Yeah.
Now, were your previous ones glass lenses, or were they plastic as well?
No, I think they were both the real hard plastic ones.
Okay.
Polycarbonate?
Yeah, polycarbonate. Well, when they make a lens like that, it is molded, and the person even in the optical laboratory, doesn't have any control over that. That comes from the manufacturer. They do that. But one of the things, they try to make a sharp edge on there, but they do have to put a coating on the lens to protect it. And what happens, the coating, when it gets on, that's a raised ledge on there, and they're putting a clear, like a lacquer coating on it. That could smear a little bit and not make a very distinctive line.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, you can explain that you find that that's a problem. I don't know that that's something that they're going to have much ability to do. Of course, the answer is to have a non-lined bifocal or a progressive lens, and then you don't have the possibility of that happening.
Any plastic lens will have that coating?
Yes, different kinds of lenses have a different kind of a coating. Maybe instead of a polycarbonate lens, maybe a CR39, which is a standard plastic, might not have quite as thick of a coating in that area.
Okay.
But you've got a raised ledge. They've put a coating on there. The material kind of fills in the cracks, and you get that wider area on there.
Hmm.
Okay.
Wish I had a better answer for you, but I don't know that there is one.
No, that helps a lot. I appreciate the answer.
All right. You're thanks, welcome. Peter. Makes good sense once you explained it. That's for sure, Jim. Wayne in Poinette up next. Hi, Wayne. Thank you for calling.
I was wondering about, I go to my eye doctor, and he says lenses from his clinic is better than, say, where you go and get a lens from, get two pair for $100. Is there any difference between the types of lenses in different clinics?
There can be. One of the things that I used to feel pretty strong about is that if you went to a place that made their own product, then they make it and they inspect it and they give it to you. If you went to a place that has some independent place making that pair of glasses, the doctor orders it from an independent lab, the lab sends it to the doctor, and the doctor inspects it. So it gets inspected by the manufacturer and also inspected by the doctor that's selling it. So I think that kind of an arm's length between the two is important. There is a lot of corners that can be cut in the manufacturing of lenses, and there's a big difference in the lens materials that you start with. You know, it's like any product, whether it's eyeglasses or cars or clothing, there is a variation in the quality, and you need to check out your source.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And let's go to Sarah. We take Sarah in St. Mary's Point, Minnesota. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm 72, and I've worn contacts for about 55 years. And I'm just wondering what's new on the horizon for, I still wear the gas permeable with bifocals and, you know, with the bifocal treatment, and they work great. But I'm wondering what's new on the horizon for someone like me.
I've got a friend who is very active in that business, and there are a few things. Most of it has to do with more oxygen permeability to the product. Some things that they're doing are the materials are less likely to accumulate eye gunk. So there is some possibilities there. You sound like you're happy with the bifocal properties. There's a number of ways that bifocals can be done with contact lenses. Sometimes they correct for distance vision in one eye and near vision in the other. And then your mind just turns off one eye to see one and turns off the other eye to see the other. A lot of people are not happy with that. Some people love it.
I don't have that. I have both of them are balanced for both eyes.
Okay. And then, some of those have concentric rings where the outer edge of the lens then is for distance or near, and then vice versa. You know, if you're happy doing it, and you've been wearing them that long, wonderful. There's a lot of people that just cannot see the way they want to see with bifocal contact lenses.
Do you think I should consider laser?
Oh, laser surgery?
Well, LASIK. LASIK
or LASIK surgery?
LASIK.
Yeah,
LASIK.
Yeah, that surgery could eliminate the need for a distance correction, but you'll still need to have something to be able to read with.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, that makes sense, but would it help? Would the LASIK surgery help?
Well, the LASIK surgery, when they do that, they determine where they want you to be able to see. At her age, you don't have any accommodation left in your body. So if the LASIK surgery went perfect, they could make it so she did not need to wear anything for driving a car, for instance, for a distance vision. And they're pretty successful in being able to do that. But then when you want to read, you need some kind of a reading glasses to be able to read. And so, you know, the contact lenses, if she's satisfied with that and can see both near and far, she's probably got the best solution right now.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, thank you so much. I think I'll stay the way I am.
Yeah.
Stay the course. Sarah, thank you. We have a couple of Janine in West Allis emailed and wondered what she has some terms. When it comes to terms like HD is one and blue blocker, are these brand names or actual eye terms? And, you know,
well, HD is a brand name. It's they try to put HD on everything today.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean anything in and of itself. Everybody makes their lenses to the best quality that they can for their price range and what they have. So to my mind, HD is a term. Now, blue blocker is a brand name that is specific to a company that started a lot of this blue light blocking story. There's a lot of other people that have jumped on that and have their own version of blue blocker. The term blue blocker has been kind of a generic term that covers all of that. But specifically, HD is a brand name and blue blockers are brand names.
Steve in Milwaukee wondered if it matters how big your sunglasses are. In the case, is the bigger better? I think you earlier said, you know, bigger can be better.
Yes, bigger is almost always better because it covers more area in the front. But don't forget about, and I'll bring this up again, the wraparound effect. You know, you need protection on the top, you need protection on the sides. And in some cases, if you're on the water, even from the bottom, because it's reflected up underneath the glasses.
And if you're looking, if you're needing prescription glasses for the first time, anything to keep in mind there?
Well, in general, a couple things. If specifically about sunglasses or just
glasses and glasses in general?
Well, one of the things that I see all the time, and I'll just kind of mention it quickly here, people don't realize that their glasses need to be presented in front of their face in the right spot. I see people all the time with their glasses down on the end of their nose. They have one side, the left side is pushed down a half inch from the right side. They have them twisted, turned. You know, if you've got little grandkids like I do, every day I've got to readjust my glasses because they're grabbing them. But how you see is dependent on how those lenses are presented in front of your eyes. There's something that they call pantoscopic tilt. The bottom of the lens should be tipped in just a little bit. There's what they call face wrap. It should contour to your face a little bit. You want to get the lenses as close to your eyes as you can without touching your eyelashes. These are things that sometimes people have a knack to be able to do that themselves, but most of the time you got to go back to where you got the glasses and say, I need a tune-up. And if they're not presented in front of your eye correctly, you can't see as well as you should see.
Yeah. Well, boy, this has been great, Jim. I really enjoyed the chance to visit with you again, and especially to have you in person visiting. We usually do this by phone. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Oh, man. Jim LaLuzerne, our guest today. He'll be back, and we'll have him on again. CEO of 5 different optic-related companies, president of the largest manufacturer of prescription eyeglasses in the world, inductee in the Optical Hall of Fame, and just all-around nice guy. It's great to have him along, and he will be, we will have him back. Just to take a look ahead to tomorrow, well, let's take a look with Dr. Sandy Sawchuk. She's going to be talking with us about how to evaluate how serious a dog bite is in your pup, what to do about it. It's certainly something is serious and something we really need to talk about. So we'll take that up and, of course, other pet issues, health issues as well with her. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.